reminded me that a couple of months ago, I had not finished a message because of the lack of time. And probably I can talk too much. But I put together that his theme matched very well with what I was thinking. So I'm going to try and recoup a little bit of that message and add a little bit onto it, okay? Now, what I want you to do is, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 91. And I'm calling this little discussion we're going to have The Greatest of Places. The Greatest of Places. Now, people spend a lot of money and do a lot of planning to go to places. They're going on safaris in Africa, they're going to Paris, they're going to London, they're going to Iceland, they're going a lot of places. And that's good. But there is a greater place. The greatest place that we can find ourselves in. So Psalm 91, there's only 16 verses, so I'm going to read them all. And we will let the scriptures be our teacher this morning, okay? Psalm 91, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror of by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near you, near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. But I will set him securely on high. Because he has known my name, he will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. The author of this psalm is not really known. He doesn't mention himself. There is a certain group who would say it's Moses who wrote this psalm, because you're talking about being in the shelter of him. And you remember Moses was placed on the mountain in the shelter where God could pass by and he could see his back. It's also thought that David did write this letter because of all the deliverances that we see. And we know that David in his youth and through his life was delivered from his enemies, from those who would take him down so often. So the authorship is in question. However, the message is true. The best place to be is in the presence of God. The best place to be is in the shelter of the Most High. and will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Dwelling being a primary key. We live in a time when things are looking very, very down, very downcast. There are many things that have been introduced in bright lights now. Now, the deviancies we see, they're always there. They're there in biblical times, but they're in the shadow. You had 20 years ago, you had to get up from your couch, get in your car, and drive to places and receive what now just comes right into your house over the airways. It's seen in bright colors, some of the deviancies. So we do want to make sure, as the writer here says, that we are dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, and we will abide then in the shadow of the Almighty. Jesus encourages us in the New Testament to abide in Him. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. So the thought of abiding has been God's from the beginning. It's nothing new. God wants to be involved with us, and He wants us to be involved with Him. He encourages us to abide in Him. This place is the place of ultimate power. Look at what the writer says. My refuge and my fortress. Now, if you think about what's happening, the frailties that we have in life, the challenges that we have in life, those who would challenge us in this life. What a wonderful place to have, to go to dwell in, but a fortress. We think of God now as a fortress, impenetrable, where nothing can go wrong, nothing can happen unless God wills it to be so. You know, I was thinking about this psalm and all the wonderful things it says. Well, let me find one for you. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies in the day of the pestilence. You'll be delivered. A lot that we think about here, we have to look into with spiritual eyes, because there have been a lot of times when the church was not delivered from the arrows in the day and was not delivered from the pestilence. But this one thing we do know, when we dwell in Him, nothing will happen to us that isn't preordained, understood by Him, and willed by Him. We can live with that confidence. We can move in that confidence. My fortress and my refuge, my God in whom I will trust. Now look, just for as we run down this for a minute, some of the things he says. In verse 3, for it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper or the fowler, it says in some terms. As we move in work, in a community, with people who can be very deceitful, with people who are trying to gain from you that which they want. And we can't live our life with every day distrusting, managing out, trying to figure things out on our own. But we know that God, as we live in Him, as we dwell in Him, will see all things and will be able to deliver us from the fowler, from that one who wants to trap you, that wants to take you. If you're anything like me, when I say those words, you're thinking back to the time when you got trapped because you maybe weren't listening to God, or maybe weren't. Anybody have any of those things going on? So we want to make sure that from going forward, that we're trusting in God, that we're looking to Him, so that the fowler will not be able to snare us, will not be able to trap us. He delivers us from deadly pestilence. This is something that is very near and dear to all of us over the past few years. And going forward, there is that always that possibility. We want to be trusting in God. We want Him to be able to deliver. He covers us under His wings. What a refuge. Jesus said that, didn't He? He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have liked to cover you like a hen would cover her chicks under the wings." His heart ever with the church, His heart ever with His people. His faith is full. It's a shield and a bulwark. Where was that? Let me see that. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek His refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. One of the things I always have to remember, being an American, is that I don't have to do it. You see, when you grow up an American, you're always thinking, I can do this. I can get this done. I can do this. I can do that. It's imprinted on us when we're children, going through school. Work hard. You can get it. And then we have to pull back when we find Him to remember He's doing this. He's doing this. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Now, don't get me wrong. Place a lot of faith in God. Increase your faith in God. But always remember, it's His faithfulness to us that is that bulwark and is that shield to us. Now, a bulwark, of course, can be a structure, can be a defensive structure placed on a wall, placed on a boat, but it can also be a principle. It's the bulwark of my understanding. It's the bulwark of my movement, that Jesus is the shield. And it's His faithfulness that's going to carry the day when things don't go right. I always have to remember that, because when we move out on our own, where do we end up? Looking to get back to where Jesus is. So we want to make sure of that. Verse 5 tells us something very interesting. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrows that fly by day. You won't, if you read the scriptures and continue to read, you don't have to turn too many pages to find the phrase, don't be afraid, fear not. Don't be afraid, fear not. You don't have to turn the page. The other one is, don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. And the reason why these things are written so often is because we tend to be a fearful people. We tend to be an anxious people. Not knowing, not having God's omnipotence, not being able to see, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. Your 401k might lose 3,000 points tomorrow morning. Who knows, right? So we're not able to see. But in this place, this wonderful place, this place, the greatest place, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. In that place, you don't have to be afraid. We can trust that Jesus goes before us. His Holy Spirit will lead us. Continuing thought, you don't have to turn too many pages. Don't fear. Fear not. It's here in the shelter of the Most High and in the shadow of the Almighty, you will not be afraid of the terror by night. Now, terror by night, in to the people who are reading this book, it had a different meaning than it has for us. Nighttime for these people was a very dangerous time. There was no electricity, there was no lights. The locking mechanisms on door were not as elaborate as ours, and a lot of evil stuff happened at night for them. But we take it over. It's there for us also. As the day ends and the night comes, but we don't need to be afraid. And look at the word the writer uses: the terror that there is at the night. I don't know if anybody here is going over any difficulties at night, any fears at night, but know that God is the God of the night also, and He can take care and He can keep us. Or the arrows that fly by the day. We live in a very dangerous society. You watch the news. You read the newspapers, you see the absolute increase in violence and horror, the violence towards children, the violence towards people in between, the potentiality of terrorism that we have to deal with. Can you imagine having to deal with all of this without a good understanding of the love and the grace of God that we can fall back on? What a refuge we have in Him. He can keep us. I don't think the devil would like us to have a good understanding of this psalm. I really don't. I don't think the devil wants us to understand this psalm. And I think I'm going to read it a lot of times. Because there's an absolute power to God's people in this psalm. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. It may be so graphic that it's akin to 1,000 dying here, 10,000 dying there. It may be that powerful, but it will not approach you. Why? Because we dwell in that place, in that perfect place, in the shelter of the Most High, will abide the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 here, 10,000 there, but it won't defeat you. It won't approach you. Remember Acts 27? We're given the account where Paul was being taken to Rome. And winter was coming. And God spoke to Paul and said, tell them to stay here for the winter. Don't go on. And Paul said, Paul told the owner of the boat, the captain of the boat, he says, God told me we should stay here. And then they looked around. It really wasn't a nice place to spend the winter. And now we're going to lose money. So they went. They go. And of course, as you can understand, God had said, the great storm comes. And the boat is being rocked. They have to throw everything overboard. They had to tie the boat up. It was a horrendous situation. And in the end, we see them bring Paul out, and on the deck, the one who dwells in the Most High, the one who understood, who can hear from God, the one who has the refuge, is the only one who has clear thought and an understanding of the situation. They're all going to jump off the boat, and they're all going to try and swim to land. And Paul says, don't do that. I have heard from God. I heard from God. Stay in the boat. Everybody stays in the boat. We might lose the boat, but we won't lose our lives. It's the one who dwells in the shelter of the Most High and will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It's that one who will have the answer when it seems like all is breaking down. And I think we're heading for that day. As I told you before, I was led to this by something Dylan had said last week, and he was talking about that, the disruption that we're going through. We need to be with Jesus. We need to trust in Him more and more and more. The devil doesn't want us to have a good concept of this psalm. It gives us power over him. It gives us power over the gates of hell. The gates of hell shall not prevail against people with the faith who dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Now, I think we said this recently. You remember, gates don't attack. They don't attack. When you lock a gate, it stays there, but it keeps something locked up. It's got power over something that's behind it. And the gates of hell have the souls of our loved ones. They have the hearts and minds of our loved ones. It has behind it the troubling of some of the goals and some of the things we would like to accomplish. Well, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the people of faith. In this place Jesus spoke of in Matthew 7, it's the place he spoke of. Here, those who hear my words and build upon the rock, when the storm comes and the winds blow, their homes will remain standing. And then he said, but here is those who hear my words and don't build upon the rock, they build upon the sand. When the storm comes and the winds blow and the rains come, the house falls. And then he said, great is the fall of that house. May God grant us that we're increasing in our faith, that we're finding this place of fortress, that we're finding the place that's in the shelter of the Most High, so that when the rains come and the storms come, you know, the older I get, the more I realize how weak I really am. You know, things I used to be able to do, I don't do anymore. That's true. I don't want to get hurt. Bones don't bend anymore. They break. But we can trust God. We can trust God because He knows today and He knows tomorrow. May His name be praised. David found this place. David knew this place. That's why some think he wrote this psalm. David said it in Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You're not subject to the fears of the night, or to the arrows that come during the day. I will fear no evil, he says. He said, in those times when things begin to happen and when things are going haywire, he says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. The enemies may be there. The enemies may be approaching. The enemies may be coming, but God will prepare a table for us in the midst of those enemies. And then David said that one thing, my cup runneth over. May God give us cups that run over and are filled to overflowing. Verse 15, if you look on verse 15, he will call upon, now God is the writer changes a little bit to talk about what God is saying to his people. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High and abide in the shadow of the Almighty, to those he will call upon me and I will answer him. God's telephone number. You know what God's telephone number is? Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things of which you don't know right now. God's telephone number. And it's never busy. And it takes a lot of phone calls. It's got a great bank in it. We will call upon him. That's the imperative. That's this scripture right here is the impetus for us. We will call, he will answer. You know, marvelous thing, isn't it? We will call, he will answer. But remember the preface. The preface is, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's the preface. Pray for me, I'll pray for you, that we'll find ourselves in this place, in that close contact, in that close and fellowship and relationship with God. You know, because, I mean, it is a situation where, and I know sometimes you might think I have a foreboding about me, but it's just that I'm aware of stuff. I work in the hospital. I'm aware of some really evil stuff. I see it come into the emergency room. The horrors that men can bring upon children and other people. The Apostle Peter, writing in his first book in chapter 5, wrote, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. What a wonderful thought. Cast it on him because he does care for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist with steadfast faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Be sober, be vigilant. Cast everything upon him. Don't lose out on that. Keep it going. Our battles are in the presence of God. The apostle gives us a great insight into our battle. From the Ephesian prison, prison epistle, from the darkness of that prison, a great light. In Ephesians 1:3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So our blessings are in heavenly places. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, that's the refuge. Our blessings are in heavenly places. That's in Jesus. That fell down. In heavenly places in Christ. And in chapter 2 of Ephesians says, and has raised us up and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We do not have to wait to sit at the right hand of Jesus. We do not have to wait to sit in heavenly places. He has made that available now. That's what the language tells us. And has raised us up. And has raised us up and made us to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. There's no waiting. It's not coming later. It's here now. Oh, we wait for his return. Yes, we wait for the shout. We wait for the great horns. But there's a place that we can have right now in Christ Jesus, where we sit together with him. It's always been available. It was available back in Psalm 91. And it's available in Ephesians. It's available today that we can be with him. But we sit in his presence now. And it's important to be comfortable with heavenly places. For that's where the strength is. And that's where the fight is. Remember before I told you, well, we're Americans. We're going to do it. We can get it done. I can do it. We can get it done. But yet the problems that we have are not things that we can attain to on our own. That's all done here. God's pre-planned. It's all done in heavenly places. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. The fight that we, the enemy that we have, the difficulties that attend our way are in heavenly places. They're powers, they're principalities. And even the greatest of us will fail and fall short because, again, let me read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Our troubles come from the heavenly places, from powers and principalities. Our help will come from that same place. How important it is for us to attain to the greatest place, sheltering in with the Most High and dwelling and abiding in the shadow of His Almighty. The enemy will always use something that we're unaware of. Went to Eve in the garden, and he said, Has God said you're going to die? You're not going to die. You're going to be just like Him. You're going to know good and evil. Now, that was true. But it was so manipulative. You see, if we're in good contact with God in this place, that's not going to get through to us. He's going to be able to tell us. If we're not dwelling in that place, if we're not in touch with the heavenly places, we'll get fooled. Discouragement, fear, frustration. Remember Job. Could only touch him physically with permission. Could only with permission because he was a righteous man and God knew him. As with Eve, our battles are with doubt and fear and confusion. The remedy is still, even as Nehemiah stated in the fourth chapter, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Don't be afraid of them. You're out there on the walls, holes in the walls. All those people are trying to kill them or trying to stop the work. And Nehemiah says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But do this. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Ephesians said, we were raised up and made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We know Him. May God grant us that we will grow in that grace, that we will increase in that place with Him. Paul, writing another gospel, shows us that this is an ongoing purpose for God. If you then, being risen up with Christ, then seek those things alone where Christ is on the right hand of God. If you then, being risen with Christ, if you are, and you are, then seek those things which are above. May we continually seek those things. Off the affections, things above, not on the things of earth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And listen to the result of that. Everything else will be added on. What a promise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added on. When the enemy came, when the work grew hard and wearisome, Nehemiah did not respond with fear, anxiety. He did not respond with any of that. He says, don't be afraid. You remember the Lord who is great and awesome. May His name be praised. With a long life I will satisfy him. The writer finishes Psalm 91. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. Blessed be his name. It's a difficult time we live in. It's a difficult time that we are negotiating. I know that everybody here has a loved one that you're really hoping that they'll come to Jesus. They'll turn around. I know there's situations in every area of your life. They're dark. They can be scary. But don't be afraid. Remember him who is great and awesome. God is great and awesome. And he will continue to be great and awesome. We look around this church. We need God to be great and awesome. We need to be praying for that God to lift us up again to the heavenly places that we may dwell. And remember when we started, that's the preface. Everything else came from that preface. And that preface was, let me read it for you again as we close. The preface is, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. To him will all of these things happen. No terror by night. No arrows by the day. No fowler's snare. No pestilence can touch us unless it's in the will of God. May we stay in the will of God. May his name be praised. Bless his name. Bless